This is the Crime Story Podcast with Carrie Antholis, where stories of crime and justice are told. On today's podcast, we update and reprise two stories that we published about the legal troubles faced by Los Angeles rapper Draco the Ruler, who was born Darryl Caldwell and who spent over 3 years in an LA jail through one trial and pending a second trial. In those earlier articles, we explored both the political and cultural dimensions to Draco's case. Since that time, Draco released a critically acclaimed album recorded over a jailhouse phone, and he accepted a plea bargain on a remaining gang conspiracy charge. That deal, according to journalist Jeff Weiss, set him free on parole, the conditions of which, quote, will last 5 years, and any minor violation could lock him up again for nearly a decade, end quote. In an interview with Draco conducted for The Ringer, Weiss asked, how difficult was it to take a plea for something that you didn't do? Draco responded, oh boy, I did not want to take that plea. I still feel like it's a setup. They want me to get into trouble. They feel like this is a win for them. I still had to plead out. They still got the gang enhancement. I still have the same judge, so that means if something happens, she's going to be the one who sentences me to the 9 years that's hanging over my head. Draco's path after liberation may be haunted by the specter of a familiar paradigm. Superstar rapper Meek Mill endured a famously fraught experience at the hands of Philadelphia trial judge Genesee Brinkley, who repeatedly accused Meek of violating the rules of his probation and jailed him for 6 months for such alleged violations until public scrutiny of irregularities in the case appeared to prompt his release. What follows are the Crime Story podcasts from almost exactly 1 year ago. Draco the Ruler and the LA District Attorney Election by me, Carrie Antholis, and Painted Black, Draco the Ruler, Mick Jagger, and Gang Conspiracy by Molly Miller. On today's podcast, I read my story, Draco the Ruler and the LA District Attorney Election, which you can find in written form at crimestory.com. Draco the Ruler and the LA District Attorney Election. Right now, young men who sing and rap and rhyme are suffering for their ability to say what they want to. We all benefit from the artists who push the boundaries of speech, and so as a country, we should see a collective interest in protecting them. This is especially true of artists who criticize the state, because once the state, which is supposed to be a representation of the people, is above reproach, we are entering Orwellian waters. That scares the shit out of me. Excerpt from Michael Render's, a.k.a. Killer Mike's, foreword to Rap on Trial by Eric Nielsen and Andrea L. Dennis. In the city of Los Angeles, there's a man who was tried and found not guilty of murder and attempted murder. But that man currently spends all but 7 hours a week locked in solitary confinement. That man's given name is Darryl Caldwell. He is better known as the emerging Los Angeles rap artist, Draco the Ruler. At his last trial, the prosecutor, Shannon Cooley, argued that Draco's group, called the Stink Team, is a violent gang, and then Cooley proceeded to use the artist's work against him. As his moniker suggests, he is the leader. They rap about their crimes, she said. The lead detective on that case, Francis Hardiman, told the court that he employs, quote, the greatest crime-fighting tools on earth, Google and social media, close quote, and explained how he used the artist's work to build a case against him. Although Draco was acquitted on murder and attempted murder charges, he is still in jail because he was convicted on a felony gun charge, because the jury was hung on the counts of gang conspiracy, and because the prosecution intends to try him again on those counts. Draco is in solitary confinement awaiting trial because he posted on social media, I no longer want to be a rapper anymore. Thank Detective Hardiman for trying to use my lyrics against me. I will be pulling all my music down tomorrow. You crushed my dreams. Hashtag thank Detective Hardiman. Draco's post provoked some of his fans to post threatening messages towards Detective Hardiman, and it was Hardiman who successfully sought to have Draco placed in solitary. Draco's new trial was scheduled to begin last week, but has been postponed until the new year. There has been some excellent coverage of this case. The most intimate and emotionally impactful has been the reporting by Jeff Weiss in The Fader. Crime Story will cover Draco's new trial early next year, and later this week we will be posting an article that uses this case to delve into the use of California's gang conspiracy laws to prosecute artists of color. But I would like to take a moment to discuss the political ramifications of this case for the upcoming race for Los Angeles District Attorney. Jackie Lacey is up for re-election within the next year. It has been well documented that she faces an uphill battle. There is increasing political momentum, particularly in traditionally Democratic communities, behind the candidacies of those who advocate for decarceration, an end to cash bail, prosecution of criminal police officers, and the prevention of police with a track record of mendacity from testifying in court. We cite this phenomenon in the Chrissy Teigen tweet and Trump's turn away from criminal justice reform on crimestory.com. Cheza Boudin, the newly elected district attorney in San Francisco, is among the most aggressive of this new breed of prosecutors in his ambitions and his planned tactics aimed at meaningful and expedited prosecutorial reform. In a recent interview on the Aider and Abetter podcast, Boudin said, "I want to eliminate racist gang enhancement allegations. I think if someone is in a criminal street gang and they commit a serious crime, they can be prosecuted for the serious crime. But the way that gang enhancement allegations have been used historically and even currently in San Francisco and in so many other parts of the country is really aimed at criminalizing an entire culture and shoehorning into evidence in front of a jury a tremendous amount of irrelevant but highly prejudicial social media and family relationships. So that's another thing we're going to do right away, end the use of racist gang enhancement allegations." Meanwhile, Jessica Pishko, a lawyer and writer about incarceration and social justice issues, just last week penned an op-ed in The Appeal in which she suggested that Jackie Lacey has largely disappointed those who look to the new black female and Democratic district attorney to enact change. And over time, once progressive prosecution ideas have become mainstream, and Lacey seems woefully behind in the model of the same tough-on-crime DA that residents had experienced for decades. Pishko later related the consensus of advocates who feel that Lacey is in the best position to help regulate some of the worst excesses of the LAPD, a law enforcement agency with a long history of oppressing communities of color, but hasn't done so. While the activist community seems to have made up its mind on Lacey's legacy, it is not yet clear that the general voting population in Los Angeles is ready to vote her out of office. Yet, just as the O.J. Simpson trial revealed a severe disconnect between Gil Garcetti's DA office and the Los Angeles community, there may be a case that galvanizes the L.A. voters to take a more progressive turn in the DA election. If popular L.A. hip-hop artists like Dre or Snoop or Kendrick begin to get their fans activated about Draco's case, if Kim or Kanye advocate on his behalf, the blowback on Lacey's campaign could be politically devastating. I began this piece with a quote from Killer Mike's foreword from Rap on Trial, and I will close with another quote from that same piece. "Prosecutors know that locking up young men of color carries political capital, and they figured out a way to use rap lyrics to do it. Right now, aspiring rap artists need to know that they are being targeted by the authorities, and they need to balance their right to free speech and their desire to push the envelope of free speech with the reality that police are watching." On today's podcast, Molly Miller reads her story, Painted Black, Draco the Ruler, Mick Jagger, and Gang Conspiracy, which you can find in written form at crimestory.com. This article contains a summary of Daryl Caldwell, a.k.a. Draco the Ruler's criminal case. For a thorough and moving examination of past proceedings, we recommend Jeff Weiss's piece on The Fader. On Monday, we published a piece by Carrie Antholis examining the potential political implications of Caldwell's case.
The Rolling Stones are a criminal street gang. At least they could be considered a criminal street gang under California's modern gang legislation if it were applied to the band's behavior in the 60s and 70s. I don't mean to offend the fans of Almighty Dad Rock or demonize the band that recorded the album Their Satanic Majesty's Request, My aim is to illuminate an enigma in the Golden State's penal codes, the definition of a criminal street gang, which is so broad and loose that it may as well be painted with broad strokes over the doorway of every home in South LA. Paint it black. Black and brown. The Stink Team is not the Rolling Stones. The LA street rap group would probably loathe the comparison. Their frontman, Draco the Ruler, his real name is Daryl Caldwell, does not have a mouth large enough to eat an alarm clock whole. His style is understated. Lyrics are served like insults mumbled under his breath. According to major players in the hip-hop scene, Draco should be reinvigorating LA rap right now, but he's been stuck in jail since March 28, 2019, on charges related to a murder that detectives and prosecutors all admit he did not commit. The crime at the heart of this perplexing saga occurred on December 10, 2016, at a Naughty or Nice pajama jam in Carson, California. Near midnight, the raucous holiday festivities were interrupted by the sound of gunshots. Over 160 partygoers fled to the streets, leaving in their wake two wounded and one dead. The single fatality was 24-year-old Davion Gregory, a young man with a bright smile. He had familial ties to the Bloods and was known to his friends as Red Bull. Gregory sustained 5 shots to his vital organs and was pronounced dead upon arrival at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. No witnesses were immediately able to identify the shooter, and security footage was too dark to distinguish the face of the man who may have committed the crime. According to California Penal Code 186.22, often referred to as the Street Terrorism and Prevention Act, or the STEP Act, a criminal street gang must meet the following criteria. 1. Be an ongoing organization of 3 or more persons. 2. Have a common name or common identifying sign or symbol. 3. Have as one of its primary activities the commission of 1 or more criminal acts. 4. Collectively engage in a pattern of criminal gang activity. The Rolling Stones consists of Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Charlie Watts, and Ronnie Wood. In other words, it's an organization of 3 or more people. The Rolling Stones also have a common name, the Rolling Stones. Their sign or symbol is a massive, cherry-lipped mouth with a tongue lolling out of it. The Rolling Stones have committed criminal acts, including assaulting a peace officer, possession of illicit substances, and possession of an illegal firearm. Their criminal acts between 1967 and 1976 might qualify as a pattern. On the night of the shooting, Draco was chilling at his apartment with members of the Stink Team, Ralphie the Plug, Solo, Philly, Kells, Young Bull, and Ketchup the Great. They spotted the pajama jam party on Instagram and decided to stop by. Draco drove his black Benz with Solo and Kells, the rest of the Stink Team caravaned behind them. According to Solo, when they pulled into the parking lot, their friend Too Shitty informed them that the Inglewood families, aka the Bloods, were there. Seconds later, Davion Gregory walked by and shots were fired. Too Shitty later told cops that the first shooter was Jaden Boyd, a Roland 40s Crip who goes by the nickname of AB, or Arlington Blue. When Boyd was arrested, he admitted to pulling the trigger on Gregory, explaining that they had beef with each other. He also implicated a second shooter, Stink Team member Kells. That should have been enough for detectives in search of the truth. 2 Crips killed a Blood. The Montagues and Capulets of Compton once again made the concrete bleed. But it seems that law enforcement and the DA in this case were after a bigger prize. They wanted to take down the Stink Team, especially Draco the Ruler. The DA has filed a litany of charges against the Stink Team members, ranging from felony vandalism to burglary to felon possession of a firearm, but Draco was clearly the DA's primary target. Prosecutors set out to charge Draco under California's criminal conspiracy laws, 182 PC, which state that if 2 or more persons conspire to commit any crime, it shall be punishable in the same manner and to the same extent as is provided for the punishment of that felony. Prosecutors argued that Draco conspired with Kells and AB to commit murder prior to the party. Therefore, Draco was charged with murder, as well as several counts of attempted murder and shooting from a vehicle. All of these charges were filed despite the fact that Draco never fired a single bullet. There was one glaring problem with the conspiracy theory. The DA and the detectives had no evidence that Draco ever wanted to kill Davion Gregory. No Facebook messages, no Instagram videos, no coded rap lyrics. Nothing connected the individuals in a credible equation that could add up to conspiracy to commit murder. This problem was solved when Detective Francis Hardiman developed the RJ theory. RJ is a rapper who did have beef with Draco. He's a bit older than Draco, but the two rap in a similar way, both spitting about LA street shit. Unsurprisingly, they've been pitted against each other, flexing on Instagram, in interviews, and in their freestyle rap videos about who really runs the streets. In one video, Draco taunts his rival, saying, "I'm riding around town with a Tommy gun and Jag, and you can disregard the yelling, RJ tied up in the back." Hardiman used the social media squabbles and lyrics as a foundation for his argument that Draco gave Kells and AB their guns and drove to the party on a mission to kill RJ. Davion Gregory, under this theory, was an unanticipated fatality in a larger conspiracy. In case you're wondering, RJ wasn't at the party. He wasn't even on the flyer. Presumption of Draco's guilt seemed to march before the evidence like a grand marshal. The prosecution's argument reeked of bad science. A conclusion was determined, then data was arranged to point to it with a neon arrow. The jury saw through the legal smokescreen. After a month-long trial, Draco was acquitted of the majority of his charges, including criminal conspiracy, attempted murder, and murder. He was found guilty of felon possession of a firearm, and the jury was split on the charges of discharging a firearm from a vehicle and criminal gang conspiracy. Conventional wisdom would have you believe that Draco's case was finished. The jury had spoken. Draco would serve time for his firearm possession charge and then be free to take his throne on the outside as one of rap's rising stars. But in the criminal legal process, conventional wisdom is often wrong. The DA refiled the charges on which the jury hung. Now Draco is back in jail and preparing to face trial again in January. If convicted, he could face a life sentence for a murder that he did not commit and for which a jury has already acquitted him. The Step Act defines a pattern of criminal gang activity as the attempt, conspiracy to commit, or conviction of two or more specified criminal offenses. The list of specified criminal offenses contains 33 different crimes, most of which are felony offenses ranging from felony vandalism, which is vandalism resulting in more than $400 in damages, to first-degree murder. To establish a pattern, the last of the offenses must have occurred within 3 years after a prior offense, and the offenses must have been committed on separate occasions or by two or more persons. The following is the Rolling Stones' pattern of criminal activity. 1967. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were arrested while partying at Richards' mansion. Jagger was charged with possession of methamphetamine hydrochloride. Their friend, Robert Frazier, was charged with possession of heroin, and Keith Richards was charged with allowing his house to be used for the purpose of smoking marijuana. 1972. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were arrested after getting into a fight with a photographer at an airport in Warwick, Rhode Island. After a long flight, Richards was pissed when photographer Andy Dickerman of the Province Journal Bulletin insisted on a picture. When Dickerman snapped his camera, Richards whipped off his belt and went after him. An officer attempted to pry Richards away, but Jagger jumped on him from behind. The resulting brawl left the policeman with a dislocated shoulder and ended with 5 men in custody, including Jagger and Richards. 1973. Keith Richards was arrested after officers found Chinese heroin, Mandrax tablets, marijuana, a revolver, a rifle, and 100 rounds of ammunition in his London home. Other minor offenses include Mick Jagger and Marianne Faithfull's arrest for possession of marijuana in 1968, and guitarist Brian Jones' arrest for marijuana possession in 1967 and 1968. The legal reason that Draco can be charged yet again for a murder everyone agrees he did not commit, a murder which a jury agreed he did not even conspire to commit, is the criminal gang conspiracy law. Criminal gang conspiracy is a limb of California's STEP Act. The law's gang enhancements can look like innocuous add-ons in comparison to the more visceral elements of the case. The prosecution plays a sleight of hand, making the jury gaze at the crime and forget about those pesky legal accoutrements. But after a conviction, STEP enhancements can add 2 to 15 years to a sentence. In some cases, the STEP Act even extends a sentence to life in prison. But in Draco's new trial, the STEP Act is not simply an additional charge used to inflate sentencing. It is the charge. Criminal gang conspiracy law states that any person who actively participates in any criminal street gang, with knowledge that its members engage or have engaged in a pattern of criminal gang activity, and who willfully promotes, furthers, assists, or benefits from any felonious criminal conduct by members of that gang, is guilty of conspiracy to commit that felony. Those convicted of criminal gang conspiracy may be punished in accordance with conspiracy law, the law which generally punishes conspirators to the same degree as the offenders themselves. So prosecutors are now arguing that the Stink Team is a gang. Their members have committed burglaries, vandalism, and now murder. Draco, as their leader, purportedly benefited from their crimes. Therefore, he can be punished for them. It doesn't matter that Draco didn't plan the murder. It doesn't matter that he didn't pull the trigger. It doesn't matter that RJ wasn't at the party. It doesn't matter that Draco claims his lyrics are just music, not a diary. All that matters is that Draco is in a quote-unquote gang and that one of the members killed a man. It's guilt by association at the most basic level. With such legislative logic, if Keith Richards shot a man in the 1970s, Mick Jagger would be held legally responsible for the crime. During the trial, the prosecutors would point to the band's criminal history, the drug arrests, aggravated assault, and illegal firearms possession. They would sneer at the red-lipped, tonguey logo and the band's name that alludes to rugged bad boy transients. Imagine the deputy DA throwing up lyrics on a projector. Sympathy for the devil? This man spits in the face of God himself. Follow that with insinuations that Mick Jagger committed all those crimes that he brags about in his song. He aided and abetted Pilate in the killing of Christ. He slaughtered the Romanovs while Anastasia screamed in vain. He held a general's rank during Hitler's blitzkrieg. He killed the Kennedys. But that would never happen. Like most thought experiments, the screws turn loose upon closer inspection. The Rolling Stones got away with most of their criminal activity. Most of Jagger and Richards' drug possessions were ultimately reduced to misdemeanors or dismissed. When they assaulted the cop at the airport, the mayor bailed them out and they got a police escort to their concert at Boston Garden. There is a reason calling the Rolling Stones a criminal street gang seems so strange. It's not because they're British.
That concludes this episode of the Crime Story Podcast. For more storytelling news and narrative analysis in the world of crime and justice, head on over to crimestory.com. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next Crime Story Podcast.